The goal of this podcast is to help you break in and thrive in advertising. And we do that every week, and sometimes we do that twice a week by sharing the stories and advice of those rocking it on the other side. Today's guest is a senior copywriter somewhere in the middle of his career journey named Andrew Weissman. He is now a senior copywriter who has worked at five of the big advertising agencies in New York and who recently published something called the Ad Adderall Handbook of Advertising Idea Generation Techniques. So Ad Adderall is kind of his thing. It's his handle. And what Andrew does this episode, he takes us through some of his favorite ideation techniques. That's ideation, coming up with ideas, methods, and creative processes of famous ad titans from the handbook itself that he's been working on, including what it means to Larry David your idea. I love this one. Plus tips he wish he had known when he was a junior in advertising. He gives out a secret discount code that he created for breaking and entering listeners only. Only you. So you all can own and have a lifetime access to the Ad Adderall Handbook for when you're creatively stuck on a brief throughout your long, successful careers. Do I have to put a note out? I think Ad Adderall, we don't condone the usage of Adderall unless you're prescribed. I think that will make the lawyers happy. Now on with the show. This is the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast, and as usual, I'm your accomplice, Gino Schellenberger. Kick it, Mikey. All right, Andrew Weissman, welcome to the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. How the heck are you doing today, sir?
So excited to be on your platform.
What are we going to talk about today, Andrew? You want to talk about advertising?
We're going to talk a little bit about that, a little bit about how I got into it after 10 years working in another business. And then I recently compiled something I've called Ad Adderall, which is an online booklet of all the best techniques for creative advertising idea generation.
How many techniques and stuff you got on there?
There's actually over 80 now, and it's like a living thing where every week I'll add another technique or so. When I listen to a podcast or read a book, or a creative director will tell me a secret technique, and I'll add new ones all the time.
You ever get yelled at for taking people's ideas?
No, not yet. I was a little nervous about that, but like I went to Ad House Portfolio School after Miami Ad School, and I know they know that I put some of the stuff I learned there. Yeah. And they were happy with it as long as I, you know, promote them and sort of quote them.
Hey, the intention for this podcast, right? I think we're aligned. We want to help aspiring advertising professionals break in, thrive in. And the thrive in portion, you know, this platform that you've created can help both actually breaking in and thriving in. So when you reached out and we talked and I saw it, I'm like, okay, yes. Well, this is something that I believe the listeners should check out. So yeah, I'm happy to have you on and talk about that.
Yeah. And it's a robust, if you ever check it out or any of your listeners check it out, it's like a book, but it's very robust. It's almost like a list of techniques for coming up with concepts. And you know, I did it, but one of the reasons I did it was when I went to ad schools, a lot, we were taught many skills and craft, but we weren't taught too many like ideation techniques. So I know like after class, like my fellow students were like, yeah, but I wish they could teach us more techniques. So I saw a need for this and yeah, so it's really just, that's what it is.
Great. And maybe what we'll do is a little live action ideation. Maybe I'll come up with a brand or something, a scenario, and we can use some of your techniques. Who knows? So, but before that, Andrew, I think we need to establish some context about who you are and what you do. You mentioned to me that you did 10 years in another industry before breaking into advertising. Is that correct?
Yeah, eight or 10 years or so. After college, I actually worked on The Sopranos as a production assistant.
No way.
So film is my passion. You know someone loves movies when they call it film and cinema, not movies.
Yes. Yes.
So I worked on a Sopranos for a season. I worked on like the Will Smith movie, the zombie movie.
I Am Legend.
I was trying to write screenplays like everyone in LA, although I'm in New York. Did that for a few years, and I'm still trying to win an Oscar for Best Original Screenplay one day.
Don't give up.
Yeah. So I did years of that, and then I got into sales for like 8 years.
Wait a minute. Sopranos. Did you meet? You were on set, so you met everybody. James, I'm assuming, and all the other celebs.
Yeah. The days I work, definitely right near them. At the food table, craft service table. I saw him shoot several scenes on Tony's driveway. Tony was, I call him Tony, but he's a few feet from me. But, I can never think of something to say to celebrities, even though, I have some questions for them.
How old are you around that time?
Ooh, I was probably 23, 24.
And your job was making sure set was going well, stuff behind the scenes, food. Cigarettes, exactly. Whatever they needed.
Yeah, as well as ordering lunches for the crew. I was like a driver for anything we needed, like to pick up camera equipment. And it was nuts because I'd be stuck in traffic and I would have the equipment and the whole set was waiting on me. And it was.
Well, how'd you get into that real quick? Did you know somebody? Where'd you go to school?
No connections. I just love media and movies. Getting a PA job, which is what it's called, is actually not too hard, but making the next transition from a PA to whatever you want to do after that is hard because you don't really need hard skills to be a production assistant. You just have to have an able body and like energy and stuff like that. I guess I lied to them and told them I had experience driving an RV because I had to drive an RV around the city. So, and then... that wasn't panning out. Wasn't really making too much money in that. So I don't remember. Somehow I got into sales jobs.
Yeah.
And that made me pretty miserable, for years. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Eventually found a job where I had like a web agency. We made websites for clients. And 2 days a week, I was the sales guy. 3 days a week, he let me be the in-house copywriter. Very strange setup. And that was okay, but he told me about Miami Ad School, which is a portfolio school. Your listeners may know, and I dropped in on a class there. I loved it. I felt like I had met the others, like the other weirdos and the other creatives. Did really well there quickly because I had, I was like 32 and the rest of my cohorts were like 22. So I did well there, found success, made it.
As a copywriter, that was the route you wanted to go?
Yeah, sorry. Miami Ad School, New York. It was in Astoria, Queens. I took the copywriting program. It's 2 years there. I had to take out a loan for like $15,000 or something. Had a good portfolio. And you're not just making work, you're also learning things from great working. The teachers are great, creative directors or what have you. I even did a semester in San Francisco. So that was very creatively fulfilling years of my life.
And you did that for 2 years. You took out a loan for about $15,000. It was in New York, based in New York. It's called Miami Ad School, but they have locations. I don't know where their current locations are at, but all taught by real working industry professionals. Which is great because you get to network, and if they like you, they could potentially put in a word for you at their agency if they're so inclined. We've talked about this motif, this recurring theme about portfolio schools. I worked at a portfolio school for a year. The goal here and why we're talking and to help these students also, a secondary goal is to mitigate the need for portfolio schools or to enhance their current experience at the portfolio school if they're in it listening to this. I'm always of the mindset, if you're going to undergrad studying this, or you want to do this, hopefully you don't need to go to portfolio school, but with the undergraduate education system within the US, they are a little bit lacking in the creative portion of it. So I like that your story, this makes sense because you weren't studying advertising, you stumbled upon it for this friend from that web company that you were working for. It is a viable option if you can afford it and you can commit yourself, and it sounds like you figured out how to do that. So I'm not against portfolio schools. I just try to think, like, if you have the time, maybe you can be a little bit gritty and not have to use them.
Yeah. And I'll say something else. I mean, one of my teachers there didn't go to ad school. He just found prompts online and pushed himself to think of spec ideas for brands. And I know other ad schools that are just like 6 months long, and I could tell that their portfolios are not as robust and not as great as when you go to a program that's 1 year or 2 years.
Of course, of course.
Made in my first year, I'm embarrassed to show. So I've deleted all that, and my second year is when I made.
Yeah, I mean, if you allot the time and you invest in it and you work hard, you know, obviously the longer you put the work in, you're going to see those better results. So that makes sense.
Something I like to say is, you know, I spent about like, I went to a couple ad schools just because I love education and I bought lots of books and textbooks. And I calculated the other day, and it's like $22,000 worth of knowledge and wisdom, which I put into this product, this Ad Adderall book thing. So I'm hoping a lot of people who are trying to make portfolios themselves can use this tool to figure out how to just, instead of
hey,
brain.
$22,000 worth of knowledge into this site, this Ad Adderall. So I want to definitely get into that. So carrying on with your story, I want to know, from portfolio school, how did you break in from there as a copywriter? What was the first agency? Give me that rundown.
Yeah, I mean, I applied for an internship at RGA, New York, an agency. I did that through Miami Ad School, when I was one of like six people who got picked. I had a funny portfolio at that time. Like, instead of icons of each brand, I had icons of horses like running majestically, and apparently that caught the eye of the hiring person. I just found it funny.
I heard this take recently that if the portfolio can catch the attention of a great agency, like, it just has to catch attention, and then they need to see the bare bones that you know how to create a concept, a campaign from start to finish. So the fact that you add a little nuance and some creative flair to it, that might be like the secret sauce to like portfolio development.
You know, I would say it's all about standing out with your landing page. I think most portfolios look the same. And I actually think on the landing page, before I click on your work, I should learn at least one thing about your personality or character just from the landing page.
Right. I agree with that. And then also it helps if they don't like that point of view and who you are, then you know it's not a good fit. So putting a little bit of flair. But Andrew, my problem is, with undergrad students that I talk to, they kind of try to build that out first. And they try to add this flair, and they worry about the setup of the website, but they don't even have one good campaign filled out.
Really?
So it's kind of like putting the cart before the horse, I believe that would be the phrase.
Yeah, no one knows how to use that phrase.
Yeah. You gotta have like a couple campaigns that are good, right? And then then that's where Ad Adderall comes in. You read this and you could help get those campaigns to be at a higher standard.
Yeah, because you really don't want those campaigns to be basic. You know, I see a lot of basic campaigns, you know, just like where there's actually no idea there. It's just design or something.
Yeah.
Or it's like an influencer thing. Got to make sure there's an idea there. So, yeah. So,
yeah. Background. What is it? What's the setup? Background, problem, background, insight, solution, like some sort of setup there.
Yeah, I heard you mention that in your last episode. Yeah, sure.
Whatever it is.
Every
school. Even if it just helps you think about it before you make the campaign, you should have it written down somewhere.
Yeah, and a great teacher, Mina McHale, who's now running translation, he just taught me at Miami Ad School the difference between like an idea and an insight, and like trying to remember, but basically, like, you have to really learn what an idea is. Not every ad campaign you make is an idea, and I can't remember right now, but it's important to make sure what you have is an idea.
Yeah. I like that. So where'd you end up again? How did you break in?
So RGA, then they asked me to come. They just paid me in bagels as an intern.
Yeah.
They asked me to come back as a paid intern. Then they asked me to move to the San Francisco office. And I worked on like Google and a lot of pet food brands like us and, you know, dog food brands. And we did fun.
How old were you when you took this internship?
So again, you know, I was a 33-year-old intern.
Right, right. And that just kind of shows, like, age, experience, like, it's hard to break into this industry. One of the greatest portfolio schools, you had a really great portfolio, you still had to put in the time, potentially, as an intern, and paid intern, and then kind of, like, work your way up.
Yeah, I took a job at Trader Joe's. I mean, my girlfriend dumped me because I was making so little money. And I was so obsessed with just thinking of ideas during those 2 years. But RGA did for a year. And then I worked there a few years in total between the two offices. And then I worked there again last year. They asked me to come back. I've also worked at FCB most recently on Verizon value brands like Straight Talk. And when I got the job at FCB, I was like, all right, I want to be better than last job. So let me compile a list for myself, a Word doc of every, you know, ad idea generation technique or method that I've ever been taught or ever read about. Just let me like skim through all my books. I have lots of textbooks and just do the techniques only, like the real meat, like none of the gray stuff.
For you, you started this thing for you. And that's what I started breaking entering was to help out, you know, to network for myself and my and also my peers at the time of COVID was in the thick of it. I thought this podcast would be helpful for myself and for my peers around me that were struggling just within my university ad club, really. So it kind of starts like, is this thing like, would you listen to this podcast? And for myself, I was like, yeah, like this is something that I wish I had when I was a freshman, sophomore, junior studying advertising. So I love that you're kind of starting out like thinking about what would be beneficial for you. And it started off with like honest intent.
Started out selfishly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to do better than previous jobs. And I've even listened to every one of your episodes and probably pulled a few techniques from your interviews as well here.
Do it. So you started that. So you got FCB in New York and you're like, okay, this is a big shop. This is New York. This is a big deal. And
for the
you want to be the best
the first
you can
time
be.
I finally got a swing on a comedy platform. It was a humorous platform. So I was like, this is what I've been trying for. Let me like really make this happen.
So when did you realize, like, was this like a Google Doc that you were putting these concepts in? When did you realize that this thing was growing fast and you wanted to expand it to add Adderall?
Yeah, I mean, it was probably a notes app on my phone and I emailed it to a fellow coworker. He called it like Andrew Weissman's treasure trove. Shout out to Don Fauché. And I just realized that it was like just as much value and wisdom in there as a book. I mean, and I was pulling stuff from Miami Ad School and Ad House. I mean, you know, even Ad House by itself was like $800. I even went to a night course. I even went, you know, that I paid $600 for and learned a couple of techniques. I bought a book with like the five techniques, you know, that every great idea comes from. And it's a very good book. So I was like, you know, this is at least as valuable to young creatives and current creatives as a book, or if not like 20 books.
Gotcha. And it started off with a couple ideas, and then now it's at over 80 idea generation techniques. And there's other elements too that it's grown to. Tell us about the platform how else it breaks down.
Yeah. So it's the website is addadderall.com because it's like a book of spells or like a cheat sheet for creatives. So that's addadderall.com. And there's five sections. It's first like the thinking techniques that really lead to the most breakthrough or award-winning ideas. Like there's different ways to think, like, I'm forgetting now, but, you know, there's like, what do they call it? there. It's like lateral thinking. Hopefully you can please delete out, cut out that part when I was trying to think about that.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
You have lateral thinking. There's like, there's a part of the creative process when you're trying to think of every bad idea you can. Then there's a time to just try to think of which of these ideas are actually practical.
Mm-hmm.
Very different thinking models. So there's five sections to the book. It's thinking, then it's the techniques, which is the meat of it. There's tenets, which is just like principles of great campaign ideas. Then there's tips, like final tips to be good in a career that I wish I knew as a junior.
Sure.
And then there's titans, which I've actually combed lots of interviews and found the techniques or the creative processes of advertising titans, like creative advertising leaders, like CCOs and people who...
Historical or present or both?
Both. I mean, both. Like,
so what I want to do now, were those all of them?
Yes.
Let's go one by one. And I think, you know, you can pull it up too, so you're not, so you have it ready. But I think let's identify a couple of each. And yeah. I'll let you kind of lead that. Where do you want to start with?
Yeah, I could give your listeners a little taste. And they could even, you know, have this one for free if you don't order the book now. But like one of them, to get specific, is called All the Industries.
And what tenant is this?
Oh, this is a technique. I'm gonna start with like three. I'll pull out three.
All right, we'll start with techniques. So this is something that I'm struggling to come up with ideas for a brief or for my spec work in my portfolio or for my class project. I hit a wall. I go to these technique sections and potentially they can help spark idea creation. Is that a fair descriptor of how to use this?
Yeah, they're exercises and then they're methods for thinking of advertising ideas or concepts. So let's do one. You want to pick a brand? Can you think of one?
Yeah, let's do. I like this watch brand. It's pretty well known. It, for me, I'm wearing it right now. It's Casio.
Cool. Perfect.
You know, it's like $30. It's not a Rolex, but I think it's kind of stylish.
It looks old school too. At the same
old
time.
Old school, kind of like it. It's kind of tasteful. I don't know.
Silver.
Maybe people roast me on the side. Who knows?
So one technique in the book is called All the Industries. And it's basically the idea that your brand is rarely in just one industry. Casio is really not just in the watch category. A quick example is if the brand was like a pet adoption company, they're also in the therapy category because what's the benefit of someone buying a dog? They buy it for therapy, maybe for home security. So that brand, let's say a pet adoption company, is also in the home security company. So explore that. Like think of your product for an hour or two as a home security brand, like maybe advertise the way ADT security does.
Oh, okay. So let's go back to Casio.
Yes.
It's fashion. It's also maybe time management, right?
Time management. Right? And also my mind,
productivity.
My mind quickly goes to dating because women do care about a man having a nice watch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so now you're suddenly in the space of you're competing with Tinder also, or you're, you know, it's just a new universes to think of.
Did you see the Timex ad? I believe it was a print ad out of home. It was like it was on like a Twitter list of like best out of home ads of all time. It was like just a picture of a plain watch. I believe it was Timex. And it was like, get yourself a watch that doesn't remind you of 10,000 emails to check. And right. I love that. It actually changed my thinking, like from my Apple Watch. And I don't wear my Apple Watch anymore. It's just nice to check the time and not be reminded that I have a million things I need to do.
Yeah. I love that. And I wonder what technique. I love to reverse engineer ads and see what technique they use. I mean, obviously they were going direct at the Apple Watch there.
Right.
Which is funny because when you focus on
your computer, not even Apple, like just smart watches in general they're trying to accelerate so fast, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Does that make sense, that technique?
Yeah. So identifying like the other industries that your brand is in that we get so hung up on the brief and what the marketing professionals say.
So much about the category.
Yes, I love
the watch category.
Like, but it's more than that.
Every brand is in multiple industries.
And then you pick one route. Like you identify another category potentially that it's in and go all in on, like, kind of that. You pick one avenue then.
Oh, I mean, I would explore everything. If you
of course, but you have to narrow it down, right? Like, if we're doing pet adoption, you're going to go home security. That would be the strongest create. Like,
sure.
Pick one, right?
Sure. I mean, you might want to present two or three of those to your creative director. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But you and your partner want to see which one of those yield the most interesting ideas.
I love it.
And I'm sure if we talked for half an hour, with a whiteboard, we could think of other industries that Casio is in.
Yeah. You know?
Even like finance, because you might give that to your children, you know. It's like
an investment for the future.
Yeah, and that's without even thinking hard for 1 minute.
I like that. Yeah, already got some. We can keep the ball rolling here, but you want to do another technique, because that was fun.
Yeah. Well, another one is called the absurd alternative, and it's thinking about every product has an absurd alternative that the people would have to do to get the benefit of your product if they didn't own your product.
The absurd alternative.
Or it's like, if they didn't have a watch, what's the absurd thing they'd have to do to know the time?
Sundial.
Right. So you could show people creating a sundial in their office every time they're curious what time it is.
I think I have a meeting at 1 o'clock. Let me just craft up this.
So imagine them rearranging the cubicles to make a sundial,
right?
Just to realize that they're late for their meeting. But the other solution would be to buy a Casio.
Mm-hmm.
So
the simpler, easier, yeah. All right.
As you keep your eyes open, you'll see hundreds of ads that use that technique.
All right, one more.
Another one is fun. One is called I pulled from a podcast recently, really recent one. It's called Larry David, Your Idea. I knew that one sounded juicy. It's like, put your hero or put your target market audience through their personal hell day. Hmm. You know, like, show them, because Larry David, every day for him is his personal hell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So Casio, I guess.
I mean, not everything works for every brand, but yeah, it may work for Casio.
What's another brand that maybe, I mean, I'm sure we could figure out for Casio, but we want to keep this, you know, podcast length appropriate.
Yeah.
Is there a brand that kind of sticks out personal that you have in mind?
No, but basically.
So you identify the target audience and envision a day of personal hell for them. Let's say a coffee drinker with no coffee.
Perfect.
I mean, pick a brand.
And in the final third of the ad, you would present your brand as the solution.
The champion that will fix that absurdity.
Yeah. And coffee is great. Well, absurd was from the last one, but
yeah.
I mean, it's also absurd.
What was the name of Larry David again?
Larry David, Your Idea.
And it's their personal hell day of the target audience. So somebody without coffee, I think we can all resonate, most of us.
But you'd probably show them in a day where they really need coffee.
Mm.
And a day where they can't get coffee.
Extreme. Yeah.
Maybe it's super cold and they want a hot coffee, or it's super hot, they want their iced coffee. And they have a lot of things to do, so they want energy, stuff like that. You know, I'm sure if we thought for an hour, we could think of better stuff.
Okay. I love it. It's a good little taste of those. Man, I would have that.
Well, so
I would have that book up if I was a creative everywhere I go. I think that's fantastic.
Right. And I'm in the process of turning into a real physical book. It's going
to
be
even online. Like, it's pretty easy to flip through, have it bookmarked and toggle through it. I think that's fine too. But yes, I know you're trying to get into a book, but it's still really helpful.
Yeah. For now, it's a website with a paywall. I'm going to give you, you listeners, like, their own coupon code. So it's just going to be $20 for them or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a student price, but, so yeah, there's like 77 other techniques in there,
mm-hmm.
all from like award-winning or really great young and older people.
As long as they're, you know, if they can spark conversations like that with their partner, their creative partner, whether they're students or trying to get jobs or they're in the industry, I think that's great. And you have 80, you have around 80 in there. So that's phenomenal. Let's get into another tenet and talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, those were techniques. But now to get to the tenets, which is like another word for principles of, I guess this is more about of the business or like.
Let's get one from this.
So this is like art over entertainment or galleries over Netflix. Mm-hmm. You know, Netflix is entertainment. You know, maybe that's for people who are successful and rich, but it's not the same thing as art. So I just say go to galleries over going to Netflix.
For inspiration.
Yeah, yeah, for inspiration. Another way to say it is like going to take in art or theater or culture is not leisure time. It's work time.
Yes, yeah. And we do that at Havas, where we get a stipend to to go and check out arts and museums and creatives actually go on trips quite a bit. And we're always trying to do these outings. So I like that. Like treat it as, you don't want to treat it. I get what you're saying. Like it is a work benefit, but if you try to label it as work, can be kind of like you get this negative association. Like they should be naturally curious.
Yeah.
So, but it is going to be work beneficial. It's just, you want to, you know, you're still having fun as well. So I like that mindset as well.
Yeah. Because I'm finding that, everyone is sort of watching the same stuff. And if you want your work to be different than your other peers, the other copywriters and art directors in the business, like go find weirder, different niche museums or niche movies that they didn't see.
Love it.
Like in Brooklyn, I found a very weird little museum. Because everyone's going to MoMA in New York, you know, like you're going to have the same ideas as them, you know.
I agree.
That's
all right.
Meeting. Yeah.
I'm with you. Love that. So a little glimpse of the tenant. And these are like, how would you describe tenants again?
Yeah, it's like 25 or so principles.
Good like practice.
Yeah, like another one is, I'll be real quick, is like, your competition is porn. So I'm like, Okay. Everything you make, you have to remember, your competition isn't just other ads. It's like, people could easily look away and go to porn or go to like some hilarious video on TikTok. Like that's our new competition,
mm-hmm.
not just other ads. So your shit needs to be so good, entertaining and surprising and real and not scripted that like people could always go to the other tab and go back to porn or go back to like TikTok or Instagram.
Something that's super stimulating, tailored to their interests.
Whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As consumers, we have the power to change what we're viewing. And it could be a lot more entertaining than an ad.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And what's the next thing we want to go over in this thing?
Another section?
Yeah.
Another section is like tips. I don't know. I probably have like 12 tips in there that I wish I knew as a junior. One of them is, and I got this from a book, it's like you have to be good and you have to be easy to work with. See, we focus so much on being good and talented, but the thing I struggle with is being easy and fun to work with. That's a big part of it. If you're super talented, but you're also not like an easy person to work with, but your partner, you're not going to have an easy time with your career, man. It's going to be hard. So it's something to work on just as much as getting good at thinking up ideas, because you don't want to be someone who like thinks he's like a genius.
Right.
Or
I guess it goes back to like emotional intelligence and knowing who you are.
It's a soft skill.
Yeah. And that does. And I guess we all probably inherently think that we are good and easy to work with until somebody yells at you or you get an HR call or whatever it might be. I think we inherently think we are easy to work with until something bad happens and it's too late. Meditation, reflection, you know, honest conversations with people you trust. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, like something a lot of people learn too late is to let your partner explore their ideas. Even if you think it's a bad idea, don't cut them off. Like if you think it's uncool, let them get it out. And let's just think about it, you know, give it some time and some air to breathe before you cut it down because you think it's not cool or not going to work for some reason.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, that goes beyond just creatives, art directors, copywriters, strategists, account people are, you know, we're always shutting down ideas. So, and we, you know, they get the rap, the reputation that they kill ideas intentionally, but that is part of their job. But I think it's something just to let the idea finish. I myself will cut off ideas if I know it might not fit the ask or it's not on strategy, but just to let them get it out and let the team hear it, I think is a really good practice.
Yeah, put it down on paper, put it down in your Google Doc, make it real, get it out of their head, and
maybe, and write it down. Like, even if we're on the non-creative, just write the idea down, show that you at least heard it and you're digesting it, and then maybe it'll come back later.
Exactly. Cool.
Cool.
Do we have time for another tip or
one more tip?
You know, there's a famous phrase like think before you speak, but I read somewhere in an ad book, it's actually like actually read before you think before, and then think before you speak, and then speak to people before you work. So read before you think before you speak, and then speak before you work in advertising.
Speak before you work.
Which is like speaking to people, whether it's people on the street or people who work in the store where your brand is sold or manufactured, before you start just working, you know, or even like read before you work.
Yeah. Yeah. You can solidify the idea out loud. I always try to get the people I work with, interns, to tell me the idea in a sentence, like say it out loud, talk me through it. And then usually they got to go back and write down things and not create things, but like write down their ideas and then speak it again. And then once we can crystallize the idea in a simple couple sentences, then we give the go ahead and then you can go and create it. You don't want to go and create all this and do all this extra stuff and then realize that the idea is not there.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the Titan techniques in Adderall is like, ironically, if it can't fit on a little napkin, then it's not a big idea, which is so ironic.
Who said that?
The guy who runs Pereira and Odell.
Yeah, probably Pereira. Or Odell.
No, I think it was Pereira. But yeah, that's in there too. And a lot of these are, I dig down more deep into them and they're more explained better in the Adderall handbook.
I'm just giving the listeners a little taste in understanding how this thing is built. And I think there's a lot of value once again. Well, and then we'll move away from tips now into Titans.
Yeah. So Titan is just like, I just combed interviews with industry Titans or icons or leaders and looked for their techniques or their creative processes. I even found like one of them uses like a secret British technique. He calls it called smart, stupid, start stupid. I want to speak about a different one. The ex Wyden CCO, Colleen DeCourcy, super famous. Everyone should know her. She's now running Snapchat. She actually said something that I never thought of. She's like, every ad you make should be one third the problem, one third the brand, and one third you, the creative.
I love
that. So it should have your voice. The way when you hear a musician or see a painter, you can always see their through line between all their work. So something to think about. Yeah.
I love it. Well,
yeah, and she has a whole technique in there explaining how she does that and how she got into her best work. Yeah.
Did we miss any segments within Adderall?
I mean, the thinking models technique is also in there. I'm not going to run it. I'm not going to get into it, but it's like, as I was finding techniques, I was finding a lot of them were like thinking models about how to like give yourself a lobotomy almost, or like think so differently, how to like think like a child or think like an artist or use lateral thinking or convergent thinking, then divergent thinking. That's important too.
Yeah. I love it. Then that, we'll close it off there, Andrew. I was going to, you know, I want to ask you then, if people want to reach out, find out more about this, how can they do so? What's the best way to talk to you?
Let me first give you the coupon code also for your listeners. It'll just make it like, they'll take off like 25%. I just made it B and E, so B ampersand E.
B and E.
Breaking and entering.
Yeah, B ampersand E. And then they get a little bit of a discount.
Exactly. That'll make, for me, you could find me on Instagram at Adderall, which again is A-D-A-D-D-E-R-A-L-L. No one knows how to spell that thing. yeah, reach out to me there on the Instagram. I post content every day. Or go to addaddle.com or connect with me on LinkedIn. Or actually, my portfolio is weissmanwashere.com.
Got it.
Weissman, weissmanwashere.com. And you can see my real work and hit me up there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for coming on, telling your story. And, you know, we learned about the late break-in and working hard. It's why we call it breaking and entering. It's not easy. And thank you for creating this resource and giving a little discount and talking about it, glimpsing at it. I have it. I have been looking through it and I know it's great. So I can't wait for our listeners to check it out. So yeah. Andrew, thank you so much again.
Thank you, Gino, for having me.
Of course.